Well, we had a great time at family camp last week, and it was just wonderful spending the time together, and God really blessed us, and it was great having David Paxell with us. And David is a youth pastor from Indonesia, and it was interesting as I spent time with David before the weekend, and as I listened to his messages over the weekend, David described himself as the product of mission, of the mission of God. And he talked about how in the late 1800s, Robert Jaffray, and just in case you're confused, Robert Jaffray is the man in the white suit, very culturally appropriately dressed. Robert Jaffray in the late 1800s went to China, southern China. He was Canadian and he went with the Christian Missionary Alliance and had a heart to reach China and to Wuchao. And very quickly, Jaffray established a Bible college and started training workers. And Jaffray and Chinese missionaries went from Wuchao into Vietnam, through Vietnam and into Indonesia. And some of the largest Christian and Missionary Alliance churches in the world historically have been in Vietnam and in Indonesia. And this man had an enormous legacy. And David's grandparents were part of that impact. They were the first in his family to come to Christ. And although David grew up in a Christian family, he talked about how it was the impact even now of people who came, of missionaries who ministered into his life and cemented into place in his life the reality that Jesus is not just some other religion. You know, one of thousands of religions. Oh, what religion will I be today? No, no, no. He discovered the reality that Jesus, God, impacts people's lives. We've been exploring this concept of the mission of God, and we want to keep on doing that because the truth of the matter is, every one of us who have ever come to believe in Jesus are the product of the mission of God. I mean, just for a few moments, think of your story. Think of the people that came into your life. The people that helped you see and understand that this is not just religion, and helped you see Jesus and believe in him. It's all about the mission of God. God's eternal plan for the whole world. How did John in his gospel put it? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes, everything Jesus said and did was about the mission of God. And so, We're exploring this and trying to understand and get a better handle on what this looks like and what it means. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to look at one of the encounters Jesus has as recorded in Luke's gospel. Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, encounters a demonized man. Let me read for you from Luke 8, verse 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from that town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. As I look at this portion of Scripture, the first thing I want you to notice is that the mission of God is for the whole world. It's for the whole world. One of the constant things we see in the Bible is how it reveals to us the God who is the creator of heaven and earth. The one who has made human beings in all our delightful diversity. He is the one who has made us in his image. And indeed, God, the creator God, our creator, loves us. We see this in Jesus, God clothed in human flesh, God walking the earth among us, as it were. Jesus, I mean, how did he behave? He reached out to men. He reached out to women. He reached out to children. And he reached out to people regardless of their ethnicity. Here in Luke's Gospel, in verse 26, we see that Jesus and his disciples hop in a boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. So they're up in the northwest. They travel southeast to the region of the Gerasenes. It might have been Gadarenes in your translation. And this region of the Gerasenes is on the east of the Jordan River. And it's part of what was known as the Decapolis. Deca, 10 in Greek, in Latin, the Decapolis, 10 cities. And this was a really interesting region because in many ways, this region, the Decapolis, this area of the Gerasenes, was a little bit like Sunnybank. Like Sunnybank is in Greater Brisbane, right? But when I often talk to my friends, I say, yeah, I live in Asia. Because they just don't understand. They don't know what it's like here. They really don't. They haven't got a clue what's going on here. And that's okay. They miss out on the restaurants. We try to introduce them. My brother visited through the week and we took them across the road. And I said, "So what would you like to eat? Indonesian? Food from Hong Kong? Taiwan? China? Malaysia? Yeah, and Japanese, yeah. And Korea. And Korea, that's right, Korean barbecue, you know." Did I miss anyone? Did I miss your favourite restaurant? Cheesecake shop. And he's just standing there going, it was great. We took him to the dumpling bar. What am I saying? All right. So it's a little bit like Sunnybank. See, the Decapolis was established by Greek colonists a few hundred years earlier, prior to this period in that the Gospels record. And the people who lived in that area, they spoke predominantly Greek, but some spoke Aramaic and others Hebrew. Politically, these 10 cities were not part of Israel, but were city-states under the protection of Rome. They were predominantly Greek in culture. Now, I don't know if you've read this account in Luke's Gospel or in the Gospels before, but it's always intrigued me when I read this, how come there were pig farmers there? I mean, like, Jews don't eat pigs. Some people, they've missed out. and it makes perfect sense why there were pig farmers there, because they were astute business people. Greeks, they liked pigs. They liked ham and pork. So of course there are pig farmers there. It was just part of their normal diet. It's a little bit like having Chinese people there and they don't have pigs. Come on, that's not going to work ever. It's not going to work. So here it is. This is a predominantly Greek culture. So what do we see here? What do we need to grasp here out of this? Jesus did not simply come for the Jews. Yes, he was born in human flesh. He was born genetically as a Jew, and he was born as part of a long history of prophecy and declaration of according to the plan of God. But Jesus did not just simply come for the Jews. I love the way Luke records it. They went across the lake. They went from Nazareth, from the west side. They went from the side where Israel predominantly was. They went to the other side. Jesus came for the whole world. And notice also here that the mission of God is actually a violent conflict. Yes, indeed, Jesus was gentle. Yes, indeed, Jesus loves people. Yes, indeed, Jesus welcomes broken people, heals and restores people. But the truth of the matter is, the mission of God is a violent conflict. Jesus encounters this demonized man. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. And this guy was an incredibly broken individual. He was being terrorized by the demons. He's naked. He doesn't live in a house. He lives among the tombs. He runs around terrorizing the whole neighborhood. Everyone is frightened by him. So much so that they chain him up to protect both himself and themselves. And this guy just breaks the chain. Supernatural strength. The encounter that Jesus has here reminds us of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, where he writes, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The reality is, we live in a physical world which is equally in a spiritual world. And within within that spiritual world, the Bible's explanation, the Bible's revelation is that indeed there are demonic forces who oppose the God himself and the purposes of God and the kingdom of God. And as we engage with people, yes, we need to engage with people in such a way that they can see and experience the kindness of God. I like the shoeboxes from the perspective that it's an expression of the kindness of God. The English Conversation Club is an expression of the kindness of God. When we come alongside one of our neighbours and do something, when we do something to people, we're showing people something of the kindness of God. Why? Because it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance, the scriptures tell us. So we need to, yes, engage with people so that they can see and experience the kindness of God. We need to engage with people in such a way that we can engage with them intellectually and address their questions and their arguments. But as we do that, never lose sight of the fact that sitting behind people's thinking and behavior is an evil, lying thief whose object is to kill, rob, and destroy them. Whose objective is to take control of their lives. And indeed, the levels of control and influence may be different, but he is there. For this man, the level of control and influence was huge. The demons were just having a wonderful time with him. But the person you're talking to, it might not be as demonstrable as it was here. But the fact remains, the devil, we're engaging with human beings and we're talking to human beings, but hang on a second, there is a tyrant back there who is not willing to let them go. But in saying that, we need to understand something. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Simple statement of fact. Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And he did it at the cross. It was a violent conflict that Jesus engaged in and won. Amen. He won. He, as was prophesied in the Garden of Eden, he put his foot on the serpent's head. He crushed his head, albeit the serpent bit his heel. Notice a couple of the details here in Luke's gospel. Notice that Jesus is totally in control. Now, I think sometimes we lose perspective here because, yes, okay, we hear a lot of the activity of the devil, and I'm not for one minute suggesting that the devil is not present, the devil is not powerful, but let's keep this in perspective. Let's not think in terms of, and when you Google sort of trying to get an image, as you know, was one of the things I do, you find there's a particular image there where the devil and Jesus are in an arm wrestle. And it's, you know, it's going like this. And it sort of creates the idea, the impression is, oh, gee, I hope Jesus wins this arm wrestle. It could go any way here. All those demons are powerful. Oh, hang on, that's not biblical. That's not a biblical concept at all. Jesus is not threatened one little bit by the devil. He is never not in control. I mean, notice it here. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he, the man, coming out of the man's mouth, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Who's in control? Jesus. The demons recognized Jesus before anyone else did. Notice that. Demons, they recognized Jesus long time before people did. And the demon, they knew who Jesus was. and they knew he is the Lord God Almighty. Sure, the devil is a liar and a cheat. The devil is a con man, and that's how he operates. He cons us into believing that he has got control, and we give him control, and we are never free from that control until the day we say Jesus is Lord of our lives. Jesus is totally in control. And then secondly, notice here in this portion of scripture that Jesus is powerful. In verse 30, we're told that there was a legion. Jesus asked the guy, what's the name of the demon? And they say legion because many demons had gone into him. Now, I don't want to get distracted here about talking about naming demons and all that stuff that so often is based on this verse and called spiritual warfare, because I'm not convinced that's what this is about at all. Something else is going on here. Something very significant is going on here. Now, a legion was a division of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers in the ancient Roman army. And it became a sort of a common expression, you know, in the language. Oh, how many people were at the football? Oh, there was a legion. It was just uncountable. Oh, it was a huge crowd. I mean, last night there was a legion of people at Mid-Autumn Festival here in this room. Over 200. You just couldn't count them. It was crazy. It was wonderful. And it was this huge crowd. What I want you to see here is one Jesus and an uncountable number of demons. And Jesus says, get into the pigs. And they do it. Who is more powerful? I mean, this is pre the cross. That's what the point of this is saying. You know, like we just look at the numbers and go, hang on, who's the more powerful? Who's the strong? The demons are not in the race. There is no competition here. Jesus is mighty God. Yes, yes indeed. It has been a violent conflict that Jesus is engaged in. Eternal God has engaged in, and he smashed the devil. And rest in that, stand in that. Notice also here that the mission of God restores people. Oh, verse 35. And the people went out to see what happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Verse 36 speaks of the people telling how the demon-possessed man had been cured. I mean, it's quite a vivid picture, isn't it? It's sort of the drama of the scene is amazing. This guy must have been, like everyone in the neighborhood knew the guy. You know, these are relatively small communities. Everyone knew him, and it must have been just a, hang on, what? Hang on, that's too hard to take. He was like this, and here he is sitting at Jesus. Totally clothed. You see, what we need to grasp here is that the mission of God is all about restoration. Paul writes in Colossians 1:19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The mission of God is all about peace, all about restoring, all about welcoming home, all about making people whole. Through the cross, Jesus forgives our sin, heals our brokenness, sets us free from the lies and control of the evil one, removes our shame, and welcomes us back home into the presence of our Heavenly Father. What does the Scriptures tell us? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Yes, this man was restored. This man was set free. He was clothed. He was cured. He was in his right mind. That's what Jesus does in people's lives. An interesting dimension to the mission of God that we see here in this portion of Scripture is that the mission of God divides people. It divides people, which in many respects is an unexpected thing to observe. Because, I mean, wouldn't you think this community would go, wow, this is amazing. Wow, look what's happened to this guy. But verse 38. Verse 35. The people went out, saw what happened. They came to Jesus. They find the guy dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. What a picture. Jesus gets into the boat and leaves them. Leaves them. Lots of people run away from Jesus for lots of reasons. These people ran away from Jesus because they were afraid of him. You see, it's an expression that's to fall into the hands of the living God is a fearful thing. We can't tame God. By very nature of the word, the name God is speaking of something that's beyond our capacity. He is the creator God, the holy God, the one who lives in unapproachable light, who detests sin. Yeah. And here is this incredible, powerful revelation of the work of God. Sometimes we get really excited and say, oh, I really want a work of God. Several years ago, there was a revival in the Solomon Islands, and one of the leaders of that revival movement was being, we heard him speaking, and he talked about how people would say, oh, revival. You know, we pray for revival. Oh, we want revival. Oh, that's what we want. We want revival. And he said, what you need to understand, revival is devastating. It's devastating. Because when God works, we're confronted with our smallness. We're confronted with our sin. We're confronted with who we are. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus himself said, I have come and I will divide families. And many of us sitting in this room know the reality of that. That's my story. As a young person, a teenager, when I came to Christ and I believed in Jesus, that, you know, my dad had no tolerance for my belief in Christ. My brothers were disdainful of me and just mocked me constantly. And it didn't become something that brought us together as a family. It actually pushed us apart. And the fact of the matter is, the mission of God will divide people. Because people kind of, yep, they might like to receive the shoebox, if I can put it like that. They love the benefits of having Christians in their community. Christians are good people. But the gospel, the mission of God, requires me to acknowledge that he is God and I am not. He calls me to humble honoring and obedience to him. And the fact of the matter is, people so often just don't want to bow before God. To as many as received him, by implication, some do not. The mission of God divided these people. But we'll come back to that in a moment. And then finally, notice that the mission of God involves us. Verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God had done for you. So the man went out away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, I can appreciate this man's reaction, can't you? I mean, he's just been set free by Jesus. He knows who Jesus is. He wants to follow Jesus. Interestingly, if you read carefully the Gospels, do not ever assume that every person who was healed and who was delivered by demons actually believed in Jesus. I suggest to you some of those people were at the crowd crying out, crucify him. It's not automatic. Remember the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus? And he sent them all off to the temple to show that, they were clean. 9 went, but 1 came back. 1 came back and acknowledged Jesus for who he is. I get it. I see you. So I can appreciate this guy. He just wants to be with Jesus. But equally, I can appreciate the crowd. He's sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and he's watching the crowd sort of get out of here, Jesus, go away, and they're walking away, and he's saying, I'm going this way, not that way. And Jesus says, no, you go over there. You go with them. You go with those people who have told me to leave town. That's what I want you to do. And this guy... And the scriptures tell us, so the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. We won't look at it, but your homework assignment is to look at Mark's gospel. And if you need a Google search, look up the word Decapolis in Mark's gospel. And you will find 2 references. One will refer to this encounter. And then Jesus comes back again. And he's welcome. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Have a look at it. Because of the impact of this man. And so, yes, here it is. The mission of God involves us. Can I suggest that this is the very thing that Jesus says to us? Return home and tell how much God has done for you. Now, I think this has lots of implications for us. For example, don't start us now. If you're doing this, look, I'm just rambling on here. I'm not picking on anyone. But for example, if you like playing soccer, don't go and start a Christian soccer club. You're just doing it, aren't you? Yeah, I knew I was going to have trouble. I had no idea. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Go join a team that already exists. You mightn't be good enough to get in, so you've got to pray in the Christian League, but hey, that's a different story. No. But that's basically the principle. That's what that video was about in Taiwan. That's what it was about. I recently heard about Sarah, a young Australian woman who is living intentionally in Poland to make Jesus known. And when she first arrived, someone told her to think of something she likes to do and use that to get involved in the community. So what Sarah did was join a community choir. She didn't start a community choir at church. She went and joined a community choir. And Sarah said, God took what I expected to be a casual weekly activity and turned it into ever-expanding opportunities for relationships, community involvement, and sharing the gospel. My choir friends have invited me to coffee, to parties, to fitness classes, and to family gatherings. We have traveled together for concerts and competitions. Simon Longdon is the Australian Director of Pioneers Mission, of which Sarah is part. And Simon writes, it is essential people have the opportunity to consider the claims of Christ, not from second-hand sources or in the form of traditions they don't understand. Rather, they need to hear, see, touch, and experience the gospel. They need to hear the spoken word from the lips of Christians living among them. The mission of God involves us. In 2000, a really bad movie was produced called The Blues Brothers. Confession time? Who's seen it? You love it. Yeah. It's always good having Renee here. Now, the story of the Blues Brothers is that they grew up in the orphanage, and the orphanage was going to be closed down, and they needed to get it needed money. So the mother superior enlisted the Blues Brothers, and you know, it was sort of this love-hate relationship with Mother Superior by the Blues Brothers. And so the Blues Brothers, they were in a band, and they were going to raise the money. And this is the phrase you hear over and over and over again as they encounter people. We're on a mission from God. And they've been sent out by Mother Superior to raise the cash. And it just goes crazy from then on. And it's just nonsensical. And is it okay to watch, Renee? Is it safe? So, yeah, look. Okay, you watch it, and Renee's endorsing it. I'm sort of impartial. But I just want you to grasp this. I just want you to grasp something. You see, it's hilarious watching this movie because their whole lives were consumed by this, I'm on a mission from God. And this crept into every one of their conversations. I'm on a mission from God. Every person, every stupid thing they did, I'm on a mission from God. I want to suggest something to you. You're on a mission from God. You're not a student. You're not a mother. You're not a father. You're not a parent. You're not a son. You're not a daughter. You're not an engineer. You're not a teacher. And you know, whatever. You know, let's cover everybody, include yourself. Yes, you do that. And yes, that is important. Yes, we need to be responsible human beings. But wherever you are right now, you who believe in Jesus, to be Christian is to be caught up in the mission of God. You are on a mission from God. And if we need to ordain you, if that would help, we'll do it. If that would help, why don't we pray for you? You know, I mean, I'm on a mission from God in Queensland government. I'm on a mission from God at a hospital. I'm on a mission from God. We'll send you out if that would help. But I just want you to grasp this. I mean, if what we're reading here in God's word is real, we can't escape it. Go home. Go home. Tell them how much God has done for you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that like David Paxol, we can sit here this morning, we who know Jesus, and can say, yep, we are the products of the mission of God. That you, God, in your love and your mercy, reached out and found us. Through people, circumstances, you drew us to yourself. No accidents. God at work in people's lives, in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the truth of the gospel, that we don't have to live under the tyranny of the devil 1 second longer. Jesus is Lord, and you've set us free. You've forgiven us. You've made us new kind of people. And I thank you for that, God. We don't deserve it. You've given us such a precious gift. And Lord, as we look around our world today, it's full of broken people. It mightn't be broken just like this demonized man in Luke's gospel, but some of them are. Totally tyrannized, totally wounded and broken and imprisoned. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes to look beyond the surface, to see what's really going on with people, and enable us, empower us with your Spirit, wherever we are, with whomever we are engaging with, to be mindful of the fact that we're there on the mission of God. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.